Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Years and years and years ago, I went to a grocery store. That's the way you want every story to start, isn't it? I went to a grocery store and I had a list of stuff. This is the stuff I had to buy. It was a grocery store I wasn't used to. I don't even remember the scenario. But I remember going through that grocery store looking for all the various items, and you know what they do? They hide them on you. So that way you got to go through more places and find more stuff, and they are hopeful that slowly as you go through that store, you end up finding other things that were not on your list. But I was poor, so I had a pretty strict list. I wasn't going to go diverge from it. And I remember walking through, and I can't for the life of me remember exactly what I was trying to get, but I remember I couldn't find it. Oh, for the life of me, I couldn't find it. I felt like I spent an hour in this store looking for this one item. And then finally, I stumbled upon it. I found it. I looked at it. I had it. And then I read the label. Oh, I had the right thing. But it was in the organic section. This was back in the day when organic sections were just kind of coming into their own. And this organic section, for whatever reason, was absolutely gargantuan. And I remember thinking that. I remember thinking about how big that organic section was. It was just absolutely huge. It took half the store. And for me, that was not normal. And I think back about that because nowadays, like, they throw the organic stuff like all over the place in the store. They might have a little section here or there, but by and large, the organic section and the non-organic section are all kind of in the same. But there I was, and I decided to keep looking for the non-organic. Remember, money was an issue at this point in time in my life. I was still in college, so that wasn't going to happen. But I remember thinking about that. Why was organic such a big deal? Why was it such a big thing? They've done certain studies, of course, and they've found some links, they think, to people that eat organic food and people that eat non-organic food, and they think that they have some links between people that eat organic food being less violent. Now, of course, then a year later, they did another study which disproved the first study. So, I think you're good. But I get the point, right? You have all these people that are trying to tell you that, like, what you eat determines what you do. It's an age-old symptom to an age-old problem. Why do we do evil? Why do we sin? Maybe it's an environmental factor, or maybe it's because we're eating the wrong food. And that's kind of what these studies were trying to do. They were trying to say, yes, people are sinners because they're eating non-organic food. That's why. Has nothing to do with being sinful or having a sinful nature. It just has to do with the food that you are eating. I bring this up because it helps to give us a little bit of a starting place. See, last week, we started this text with Jesus talking to these Pharisees. And for those that weren't here last week, basically the Pharisees approach Jesus and they say, hey, you're eating with defiled hands. You're not ceremonially cleaning all of these items, the food that you get and the plates that you have and even the couch, right? You're not cleaning those appropriately, and therefore you're eating with defiled hands. And Jesus answers by calling them hypocrites and talking about the problem with traditions, specific traditions that he brings up. But this week, as the text continues, we get more of the answer, I think, that the Pharisees were anticipating, where Jesus actually speaks about defilement. And then we kind of go, well, what does that mean? Right? What does it mean to eat something that's unclean or dare I say, defiled? See, and that can be a little bit more challenging because we don't really have a frame of reference for that in today's world. I mean, we'll clean our dishes and we'll clean our food, But we don't do that because we believe it's ceremonially unclean and that if we don't clean our plates, we're not going to go to church on Sunday. That's not how that works. And that's not the way we think. But that is how they thought. You see, if you were ceremonially unclean, you couldn't go to the temple. And if you couldn't go to the temple, you couldn't worship God appropriately. And so you see, they had all these issues with the fact that Jesus wasn't doing all of these extra steps. Steps that were not in the scripture, by the way, but things that were added later on by the various elders throughout the ages and years. But this is the way they viewed things. That basically, if you were to eat these foods, you would somehow become a sinner. Or more of a sinner, I guess you might say. And so you see, we start with the whole organic food section because that helps us kind of create this idea, this link. This idea that a lot of people believe that if you eat this, you're going to do that. Now, whether you eat organic food or non-organic food, that's completely up to you. But you are a sinner. And you're a sinner whether you eat organic food or non-organic food. I'm sorry, but it's true. We are all sinners. We all sin. Sin, although this is part of the text, the sin isn't about what we eat, but it's about our hearts. Our hearts are sinful. We are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against our Lord. We have sinned against our Savior. And Jesus, as the text goes, rattles off all these sins. Sexual immorality, envy, all of these things. And we understand that. And we hear that. You can eat, ultimately, as long as it's healthy, you know, to some degree. You know, don't eat poison. But you can eat whatever you want. And you eating something is not going to make you sinful to the point where you can't come to church. But you're still sinners. And you're still sinful. And you're still unclean. And so we gather here at church, not because we are so great, but because we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed by the very blood of the Lamb. We have sinful desires. We have a sinful flesh. Now, there's a lot of people that will look at a text like this and say, well, see, I could go do whatever I want because, quite frankly, it's not what I do, it's not what goes in, but it's ultimately what comes out. And that's the incorrect thought as well. As sinners, we need a Savior. We need a Savior who's going to take us, who's going to claim us as His own. And in baptism, that is exactly what happens. In baptism, we are claimed as Christ. As Paul tells us, we are then buried with Christ. We experience a death like His that we may experience a life like His. In our baptisms, we are daily washed, as Paul tells us in Corinthians. Daily cleansed. Each day, our sin is cleansed from us. And each day, as we venture out into the world, we continue on. And yes, we sin. And so we come to church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, to hear again the good news of Jesus. Yes, we have sin. Yes, we have sinful hearts. We have sinful hearts that taint all the things that we do. Even as we venture out, it's hard to peel away even things like selfishness or self-interest. But that and so many other things. We sin and sin and sin. But yet, thanks be to God, we have a great and wonderful Savior. And so we hear again the words of Jesus. We hear again the words of our Lord and our Savior. We hear again that great gospel message. And some people think it's kind of boring to hear that gospel message over and over and over again. But the reality is that we need to hear it. We need to hear again and again that we have been cleansed by our Lord. We need to hear again and again that though we are sinners, and though our heart is full of sin, that by the very blood of the Lamb of God, we have been made white as snow. That our sins have been taken from us. That's not so we can go out and sin all the more. Absolutely not. As we venture out, we always try our best to do and live a life that is good and God-pleasing. But we know that when we fail, we have a Savior. That when we fail, we again know that we have been cleansed, not by our own hands, but by the very work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time,